this morning's service is a different structure. It's going to be a more interactive. The worship team is going to come back up at the end of the message, and we're going to worship as we also move throughout the sanctuary and as we have different means of grace. And I'll be talking about each of these means of grace as we work through the message this morning, and then I'll give you some more instructions at the end. But stand with me, please, and find your Bibles, whether it be in, on the tablet or phone or whatever, and turn to Exodus chapter 33. Israel is going to be in the wilderness for a period of time, and God is telling Moses that the journey's about to resume. In Exodus chapter 33, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses, "Depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up from the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, I can just imagine as Moses is listening to God speaking that he's getting excited because God is telling him that you're going to do something in our lives. You're going to do something through our nation. I will, verse 2, "I will send an angel before you and I will drive out." Oh, so we're not going to have to go fight by ourselves. We're not going to have to do it all by ourselves. You're going to send an angel. Oh, that's great news. This is exciting, God. Keep it up. You're going to drive out the Canaanite. Okay. Amorite, Hittite, Perizzite, Hivite, Jebusites, any of the other ites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, we get to go to a prosperous land. We get to go where it's a land of supply. It's a land that doesn't lack. We get to go there. Oh, praise God. This is exciting. And then God says, "Now you do that, but I'm not going to go with you. Because you are an obstinate people. And if I went with you, I might destroy you on the way." Verses 4 and following, you see a dialogue between Moses and God. And finally, in verse 15, Moses says these words to God. He says, "If your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." Father, as we begin a new year, as we set the atmosphere for what you're going to do in our lives, in our church, in our families this year, may we be people who are characterized by your presence. That we commune with you and you with us, and that we're different. Because we don't allow the world and the culture to determine our happiness or to even govern our decisions, but that we allow your word to. People of his presence. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. We pray it for the glory of God. We pray it because our country needs it. They need us to be people of his presence. And we thank you that you'll honor your word and you'll do what you said. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen. Would you read with me, would you read it aloud? Our verse of the week is found in the Exodus 33, verse 16. Moses tells God, and let's read together if you will, "Your presence among us distinguishes us." Stop. His presence does what? Distinguishes us. Let's start the whole verse again, will you? "Your presence among us distinguishes us apart from all other people on the earth." You may be seated. In your notes this morning, we must be people of his presence. If we're going to set the atmosphere in our homes, if we're going to set the atmosphere in our church, we must be people of his presence. In the Old Testament, the presence of God was characterized or symbolic by what piece of furniture in the tabernacle or in the temple? The ark. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of the presence of God. And yet the Ark of the Covenant, let me just see how well some of your Bible knowledge is. The Ark of the Covenant was in what part or what room of the tabernacle or the temple? The Holy of Holies. And who could go in there? The high priest. How often did he go in there a year? One time. So only one time a year could the high priest go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God where the ark was. And yet 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says that now we who are Christ's followers, we are priests. In other words, we are able to go into the Holy of Holies and spend time and live in the presence of God. Israel is about to go into the promised land, Joshua chapter 3. They're about to cross over, and Joshua tells the people, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priest carrying it, then you are to set out from your place and move out after it. Another translation says, move out and go out after it. In other words, allow the presence to lead you. Allow the presence to lead you. We have become so busy in our society that we have lost the urgency of his presence. We have desired, we have spent time, we have sought after, we have worn ourselves out. And some of you this morning, you are tired. You are weary because we have been so busy, but we've lost the urgency of his presence. See, we seldom take action to move forward until we see the need or have the opportunity. And this morning, I hope you will see the need of his presence, because it is his presence that changes everything. It is not our sermons. Our sermons without his presence are best motivational speeches. Our music without his presence is simply Christian entertainment. Our programs without his presence, quite frankly, are often very cheesy. Without his presence, these facilities are simply a hollow, empty shell. But with his presence, they obtain, they retain the presence of God. With his presence, there is life changing in this word. With his presence, it changes, and he inhabits the praises of his people. Many of you have family and friends who don't know the presence of God. They don't have that relationship. When we worship in a few minutes, I encourage many of you to come to the middle aisle. And there are three tables here. And on each table, there is a book of salvation that we're asking you to come and just write down names or names of friends or family that you want us to pray for. And this year at special services, which this Wednesday will be one of them, as we meet in the Education Center auditorium, it'll be a night of worship this coming Wednesday at 7. I encourage you to be there. We're going to take these names and lay them before the Lord and pray over them, because we believe that his presence makes a difference. In our passage this morning, I read just a few moments ago to you that God told Moses, he said, I'm going to send an angel for you. That angel is going to fight for you. I like that. Do we have any of you, men or women, did anybody here ever box? I boxed a little bit just in the neighborhood. My uncle gave us some boxing gloves, and so we would box. And I remember one particular day, one of the guys who lived a street over behind me, he came over, and, you know, when you're eight or so, you want to impress the older boys. And he was 5 years older than I am, and so I'm like eight, he's 13. And I know that may not seem like a lot, but when you're boxing and you're a little eight-year-old and he's 13, he's going to knock the stew out of you and everything else is in you. And that's exactly what he did. I don't think, as far as I know, I never had a concussion, but that was the closest I ever came. He knocked the stew out of me. But because I wanted his approval, I let him beat the stuffing out of me. Now, some of you are going, you need psychological help. If you've been attending here for a while and you're just figuring that out, why are you so slow? You need the help. I know I need it. What is your point, Owen? The point is, I wanted his approval. I wanted his presence. And so I was willing to sacrifice myself so I could get his approval. Can I tell you this morning, God doesn't want to knock your socks off. He wants to love you into the kingdom. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. See, we come to this place in Exodus chapter 33, and God told Israel, he said, I'm going to send an angel to fight for you. And I'm going to lead you into a land of plenty. But listen to what Moses said in verse 15. He said, if your presence does not go, he said, I don't want the material things of this world. Oh, is that your heart? Oh, God, if I don't have you, then, Lord, it doesn't matter what house I live in. Lord, if I don't have you, it doesn't matter what car I drive. Lord, if I don't have you, it doesn't matter what's going on around me. But Lord, if I have you, everything else is going to be okay. If your presence does not go with me, nothing else matters. Here's this morning. It is very possible to be blessed and be far from God. Unfortunately, in the church world today, we've associated material blessings with God's blessings. That's not the same. God's presence and material blessings do not always mix. In fact, sometimes they actually contradict each other. While it's a fact that we're people of his presence, we must set the atmosphere in your nose by continually pursuing his presence. God told Jeremiah, he said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, it's not because God's hiding from us. It's because we have to get through so much clutter to find him. It's not that God is saying, hey, jump a little higher, reach over here. No, God is saying, I'm here. Here I am. You remember playing hide-and-go-seek with little kids? Now, if you're a good parent, you would do something like this. You know, okay, I'm going to play hide-and-go-seek with you. Now I'm hiding. Oh, you see me? Of course you see me. Because I want you to find me. God says, I want you to find me. And if you'll seek me, you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart. But a sign of sickness in our society today is a loss of appetite. We've lost that hunger, that thirst. We've lost that desire for the things of God. Now, Regina will tell you this is true about the Johnston family, the family I grew up in. If my family, so much of our world was around food, because when I was growing up, the only thing we could do that wasn't sin was to eat. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Everything else was sin. And so we did it, and we did it well. But if you didn't eat, then something was wrong. You were sick. Regina will tell you today that even when I'm sick, I still want something to eat. I like food. I'm looking forward to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I just get to eat, and never have to go on the scales, never will gain an ounce. It's going to be great. And I'm looking forward to Bluebell. I don't know how many flavors he'll have up there, but it's going to be so grand. Some of us have lost our appetite for things of God because we've become so busy. We've become spiritually sick and anemic. Now, I'm about to tell you a story I told the congregation the first service, and I'm not sure they appreciated it, and you probably won't. Some of you probably won't either, but please don't judge me. Everybody say, I'm not going to judge you. Okay, you said it, okay? I'm just telling, this is my family. I remember it was July 4th, 2005. So it was a long time ago. Our family had been summoned to the doctor's office because my mother was to receive a report that day. And it probably was not going to be a good report, and so our four, my brother and his wife, my sister and her husband, my mom and dad, we all crowded into the room, and the doctor walks in, and it didn't take very long. He let us know that you have 3 to 6 months to live. We talked about options. We talked about this. We talked about that. We talked for a few minutes, maybe 15. I don't know. And then the doctor left. And you know what our family did? We went and ate Mexican food. Because that's how my family does it. I told you food was a big part of our life. It still is. And so we went and ate. Regina and I have talked about that. We've talked about how weird that seems. I mean, you just got a death sentence and yet you're going out to eat. That particular meal, Mom didn't eat a whole lot. Mom had just found out that she got 3 to 6 months to live. And 3 months later, almost to the day, she stepped into glory. Now, why do I tell you the story? See, a loss of appetite often happens when you're sick. I remember it was a Friday. I was up at Mom and Dad's house. We were sitting at the table eating again. Mom had to excuse herself from the table. She wasn't doing well. That was on Friday. And on Monday, she passed. Eating was a big part of our family. And if you talk to Regina, it's still been a big part of our family as our boys grew up. But when someone is ill, often the appetite goes away. And so my question is this. How's your appetite for the things of God? Do you wake up in the morning? Do you go to bed at night? Throughout the day, are you going, Lord, search me, try me, know me. Lord, I want to know you. Are you pursuing him? Or have you lost your appetite? The writer of Hebrews says, let us lay aside every weight that slows us down. He goes on, he says, and the sin that so easily traps us. Are you willing to lay it down for his presence? Jesus said, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be given to you. Nothing takes the place of his presence. Is there a relationship in your life that you need to lay aside? Is there an attitude that's holding you back? Is there unforgiveness that you need to let go of? Are there priorities you need to rearrange? What do you need to lay aside for his presence? Sin will keep you from God, and God will keep you from sin. It's just your choice. Mother Teresa made this statement. She said, in order to keep a lamp burning, we have to keep putting oil in it. And so, Bethel, may we put oil daily through our devotions in our spiritual lamps. That's why on the back of the worship guide, it talks about the 365 challenge, and it gives you the way to get it digitally. If you want a hard copy, they're at the guest center. They're also in the foyer or the lobby at the welcome center. But pursuing him is a daily, everybody say daily. It's a daily decision. Thirdly, in your notes, let's explore some of the promises. And I've got, I think, half a dozen. I'm going to try to go through them quick. This is not an exhaustive list. It's just something that will start your appetite. And I didn't put them in your notes. You'll have to scribble out somewhere. But I just want to give you some things that happen in his presence. First of all, notice what Moses said in verse 16. He said, is it not by your going with us so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished? Everybody say distinguished. In other words, set apart, different. We were with some of our family just recently, and my youngest son, he said, "Hey, Dad, is that a new mark that you have on your face?" I said, "No, I've had it all my life. It's a birthmark." See, some of you have birthmarks. You've had it all your life. It's a distinguishing characteristic. When you leave this place in just a few minutes, may the presence of God be such a distinguishing characteristic that when people see you, it is like a birthmark. They know that you have been in the presence of God. That's what our world needs. David said in Psalm 22, verse 3, that you inhabit the praises of your people. The word inhabits means to sit down, to relax, to spend time. When you're facing a crisis, may you praise your way into the presence of God. See, worship attracts the presence of God. When they lead us in just a few moments, Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will actually come and sit down in this room. And when they sit down, may you pull your chair up to their table and hear what they have to say. The presence of God does several things. Let me just give you quickly, I think it's six. Number one, the presence will refresh you. Acts 3:19, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. May His presence refresh you. As you go to work, as you go to school, as you go eat, as you play ball, may His presence be a characteristic of your life. Some of you have built fires in your fireplace already during this winter. Some of you are going, "This is winter? This is Texas winter, folks." How many of you have built a fireplace already in your fireplace? Yeah, some of you have. Now, I didn't mean arguing. I'm talking about a literal fireplace. But those of you that have built a literal fire, you did that for one of two reasons. You did it either for warmth or for atmosphere. Neither are wrong, and both can be right. But if you did it for warmth and you got close enough, you felt the heat coming off and you felt it in your hands, your arms, your legs, whatever got close to that fire. This morning, may you get so close to the fire of the Holy Spirit that that warmth of God's presence will come upon you and refresh you, that when you leave, you will have been in the presence of God. As God refreshes you, ask Him, "Okay, Lord, what do you want to say to me for this year? What do you want to speak to me? What do you want me to do?" That's what that vision board is for right back there. We've had so many write that we've turned around the board so that there'd be more room on this side because the other side is already full. There are cards right beside the table. It may be a word that God has spoken to you, a scripture, a song, a phrase, whatever it is. Stop over there and take some time to write down and stick it on the vision board and, "God, this is what I believe for this year." You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know what God wants to do in my life this year." Well, that's what this station's for. Because this is personal, private prayer. You just come, stay as long as you want. If you don't know what God wants to do in your life this year, then start right here. "Okay, Lord, what do you want to do? What are you saying to me?" And then from here to there. Now, it's spending time in His presence and hearing His voice. God's presence also stabilizes us. David said, "I have set the Lord continually before me because He's in my right hand. I shall not be shaken." Oh, in the last 2 years, have we seen not just America shake, but the whole world shaken. But the church, this is our opportunity. Everybody say, "Our opportunity." Say, "It's our time. It is our opportunity. It is our time to stand up and to say we are steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord." This is our time. In all of the chaos, all of the problems, let it come. Because Jesus is still Lord. Jesus is still on the throne. It's going to be okay. Oh, Everything's going to be fine. No, it's going to get worse. It's going to get bad. I mean, you say, Pastor, you're preaching doom and gloom. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm preaching the rapture of Jesus Christ. But before he comes, I think finances are going to get tough. I think we're going to lose some things. I think tough things are going to get harder. But that's okay, because Jesus is coming. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. God's presence will also give you peace. Isaiah said, you will keep in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed. The word stayed, it means to lay on something so that it may rest on it. You will keep me in perfect peace if I keep stayed, if I keep leaning against you, if I keep resting on you. I don't care if you read the news or not, but don't let the news dictate your emotions. Don't let the news dictate your decisions. This book dictates who you are, what you say, and how you live. Please don't misunderstand. We're in a mess, but that's okay. That's okay. Because Jesus is still on the throne. And we can be stable in the midst of it. And we can have peace. And then his presence brings joy. David said, in your presence is fullness of joy. Some of you have a bucket with a hole in it that the joy has sapped out. It's drained out. I mean, this variant came, that problem came, this situation came. It was amazing to me in 2020, in a matter of what, 3 months' time, the stock market went from here down to here and then back up. It won't surprise me, church, if we continue to see stuff like that. Oh, no, I may lose all my retirement. Let me tell you, church, we may lose it all, but we won't lose what counts. That's our relationship with Christ. Get your eyes off of this world. We are pilgrims passing through. God's presence will bring strength to you. Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. For some of you, that joy, peace, and strength have been sapped out of your life. And this morning at the back of the auditorium, to the right of the sound booth, to the right of the guest center back there, sorry, to the left of the sound booth, my other right, there are tables of rocks. Let me tell you, first of all, these are not to be picked up and thrown. Okay? Linda, did you hear that? Peggy? Y'all, I just want to be sure y'all knew that. Chris, I expect you to be sure they behave, okay? Thank you. I'm glad to see you. Why are the rocks back there? They're back there, and I have a rock in my office. I'm not going to tell you what's on it. But last night when we did this, I put something on one side and something on the other side, and I have it on my desk. We're asking you to go because some of you have been carrying a burden for a period of time. It may be a lost loved one. It may be a health issue, a financial issue. It may be relational or mental or social, whatever. You can write as much as you want, but this is just for you. If you want to get a small rock, you keep in your pocket. You might want to get a bigger rock, whatever you want. But every day, you take the rock home with you. And right now, my rock is on my desk, and my door is locked, and you can't go in. So, and I will pick up that rock, and I will read that rock, and I will pray over that rock. I'll turn it over and I'll pray over it. And then I'm going to do what 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your care upon the Lord, for he cares for you. I'm going to put the rock back down. And the next morning is going to come. I'm going to pick the rock back up. I'm going to read it to the Lord. I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to lay the rock back down. Take as many rocks as you want. Take them home with you. Pick them up and pray over them and then lay it down. God's presence will also protect you. Psalm 91, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells, the word dwells there is the same word that we talked about earlier in the message, Psalm 22, verse 3. He inhabits our praises, the same Greek word. So, he who sits down in the shelter, that's a covering or a secret place, a hiding place. So, he who sits down in the hiding place of the Most High God will abide. The word abide means to spend the night. Some of you are so tired this morning. Now, if you want to spend the night here, you're welcome to, but we do ask that once the lights are off and we set the alarm, do not move, otherwise the alarm will go off. But you are welcome to stay as long as you want. But just don't let the motion detectors get you. We'll abide, you'll spend the night in the shadow. You know, what does it mean, shadow? Well, the word shadow is the same word that is used in Numbers 14, verse 9. Do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. Their defense has been removed. The word defense is the same word as shadow. So let's read this verse with some understanding. He who sits down in the hiding place of the Most High will spend the night being defended by the Almighty. Can somebody say praise the Lord? He who sits down in the hiding place of the Most High will spend the night with the Almighty defending them. Some of you aren't getting it. Let's read it again. He who sits down in the hiding place, the secure place, the secret place, the covering of the Most High God will abide, will spend the night in the defense of the Almighty God. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be okay. And it will. So, as we break in just a few moments, there is communion right over here. Beautiful communion fountain and a communion fountain over here. You can go as individuals, go as families. I encourage you to, you may take it as an individual, but also have some friends also. Don't just do it by yourself. You may want to take it two or three times. That's fine. But as you take communion, remember what Jesus has done for us. So let me wrap this up. Psalm 145, verse 18. In fact, can you put that up there, Psalm 145? Yeah, thank you. Would y'all just read this with me? Let's read together. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Regina and I will have been married 40 years this coming April. Can you believe that she's put up with me that long? See, it's a grace of God. Regina and I, this is a true story. All the others I've been telling you aren't, but this is. We're sitting at the house yesterday or the day before, and she says, you're my favorite person to spend time with. And I said back to her, you're my favorite person to spend time with. Go back, Psalm 145, will you? The Lord is near to all who call. God wants to spend time with you this morning. He says, will you come and worship me? And if you'll worship me, I'll inhabit it. I'll renew you. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you stability. I will help you. And I will protect you. Let me close. Notice, of all the six things I talked about, none of them are materialistic. His presence doesn't guarantee materialism. His presence guarantees that inner strength and joy that says, you can make it. Would you bow your head? Father, there are some of us this morning, we are struggling. We have been beaten. The storm is raging. And Father, we're tired. But in the name of Jesus, I pray for refreshing, for strength, for stabilization, for peace, for joy, and for protection in the next few minutes. And Father, for those who do not know you, they will come to a personal relationship with you and make Jesus Lord of their life. With heads bowed this morning, I'm going to lead us in prayer. It's a very simple prayer where we confess our sins, ask his forgiveness, and surrender ourselves to Christ. And as I lead us in this prayer, I invite you to pray with me this morning. And in so doing, we're going to make things right with God. If you desire that relationship, you want his presence, you want that peace, stability, refreshing joy, that strength and that protection. You want those things that comes from relationship. It doesn't come from church attendance. It doesn't come from mom or dad or brother or sister or husband or wife. It comes from relationship. I'm going to lead us in prayer, confessing our sins, asking forgiveness, and surrendering ourselves to Jesus. This congregation is going to pray aloud after me. And as they pray, we invite you to pray with us. And in so doing, we're going to make things right with God. Would you join me this morning as we pray? Let's pray together. Father God, I open myself to you. I hide nothing from you. I confess my sins. I ask your forgiveness. I submit to you. I thank you for forgiving me. And I gladly confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thank you for doing what I've asked. And with heads bowed, respect to the privacy of others, you say, Pastor, I walked in this place an hour ago. My relationship was not right with Jesus. But I've asked his forgiveness. I've surrendered to him. And now he's Lord of my life. I'm going to ask you to do two things. Number one, slip your head up. Make eye contact with me. We'll just nod and communicate that way. But also, slip your hand up, because in a congregation this size, it's a little hard to see sometimes. By those two steps of faith, you're saying, this morning I made a decision to follow Jesus. As I look across this sanctuary, would you respond to the Holy Spirit who's speaking to you right now and saying, that's you. Come, make that decision. Follow me. As I look across this sanctuary, would you just say, Pastor, that's me. This morning I made Jesus Lord of my life, and I want to confess that. Thank you. God bless you, young man. Who else? Thank you. God bless you, sir. Who else? Come on, there are some others. This morning, Pastor, I made a decision to follow Jesus, and I want you to know that. Who else? Thank you, sir. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Who else? I believe there are still others. I'll wait just a little bit longer. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, lady. Hallelujah. Somebody else. This morning, Pastor, I made that decision. I want you to know that. It's a statement of faith. Thank you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. Who else? Who else? Anyone else before I move on? Would everybody look right this way? And would you stand with me this morning? Let's rejoice and say thank you, God, for what you've done and for what you're doing and for what you're about to do. For you are a good, good Father.